Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at JustAskVi. That's VI.com.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison, your host with the Jamison family of companies. And of course, again, this Saturday, we are pre-recording due to the challenges around COVID-19. Yay. Hope this is over soon. I am here today with my dear friend in another studio at a remote location, Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding. Hey, Sandy.
Hey.
How are you? Welcome from afar.
Good to be here. I'm good.
Yeah. Well, we're excited today to talk with you all about what's going on in the real estate market and provide you information. Sit back, relax. If you're listening to us on radio.com, yay. If you're listening to us either from your car or at home on 1110 AM or 99.3 FM, sit back and relax. Sandy and I have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about anything from rates to the volatility of rates. We're going to talk about what I believe is going on in the real estate market right now and how to market a home during these times. We're going to talk about appraisals. We're going to talk about your credit. We're going to talk about microbial growth. We're going to talk about a lot today, so thank you all for being with us. We will have snippets of this for you to view on pauljamison.com. If you'd like to see what we look like and how we're doing, we would love to have you as a part of that. All right. So now, to get on with the show, let's talk a little bit about what I see coming in real estate. I get asked this a lot by a lot of buyers and sellers. Is this the new normal? Is this the new normal? All right. So I'm going to give you the answer first, and then I'm going to tell you a lot of other stuff. Answer, no. I find it interesting, though, that homes in Mecklenburg County, either vacant or occupied, vary so differently in risk. So homes in Mecklenburg County are certainly riskier than those in Union, Gaston, Iredale, and others. Not. For all the other counties, understand, other than Mecklenburg, that real estate is essential. It just confuses me. What are the top three? Food, shelter, safety. People need shelter. Housing is essential. So I'm just saying. All right. I do believe that showings will go back to a semblance of normal. However, I do believe that the virtual world of showings will play a different role. I don't know what that looks like going forward, but I think the virtual world of showings and how people view houses, whether they have virtual open houses along with regular ones, whether they have other things that are added to the list. There's a camera out there called a Matterport camera. Matterport camera gives you 3D images of the home and allows you to kind of do a simulated bird's eye dimensional, three-dimensional view of the inside of the home. It's pretty cool. That camera is not cheap. I think it's like $4,000 or something like that. But Still in all, nothing beats being able to walk through a house for the majority of buyers. This is an interest getter. What it may do is it cut down on the number of showings, because I think visually we're going to try to do a better job of showing you exactly what the house looks like so you don't waste your time going through it. All right. So this week we had an interesting success. One of my clients in Mecklenburg County handled for me about 5 virtual showings. So here's what we did. Buyer, buyer's agent, myself, and the seller got onto a Zoom call together. The seller, after we rehearsed it, did a live walkthrough tour of their home. So what we then did was answered questions live. He could go back and look at things on the demand or request of the buyer. The agent was also there representing their client, asking questions. It actually proved to be pretty successful. Here's why. Buyers and sellers typically do not have a chance to communicate at all, and there are probably a lot of good reasons behind that. But in some cases, if you're walking through a house and you see something and you ask a question, by the time you ask a question of your buyer agent, the buyer asks a question of the seller agent, the seller asks a question of the seller, then the seller tells the seller agent, the seller agent tells the buyer agent, and the buyer agent tells the buyer. Sometimes there's a little bit of telephone action that goes on in the communication and translation of the information. So it was kind of neat to see the seller directly relating to the buyer with answers to particular questions. So, again, is this going to be good in every case? No, because there are certain things that, you know, you can put mufflers on in the communication. And you never quite know what may come out of somebody's mouth, you know, like, if they start really picking on the house live with the seller, could cause some emotional things. But I just want to say, in this environment, everybody was very cooperative, and everybody was, we really knew that when we were there, we had interested buyers looking at the house, because they put themselves out there as well. So, is this a new normal? I ask again. No. It's not. It's a part of the process, but I don't believe it's the new normal. So should you list your home now? Is the question I get. Yes. And here's why. Right now, in typically what we would see as the hottest part of the market, which started around mid-March and runs through mid-July, because a lot of the school moves, and that's when people mostly make the transitions. We believe right now everybody is tuned to their computer. Everybody is tuned to their phone. And 93% to 94% of all transactions originate from one of those two devices in real estate first. So people are finding you on your computer or on their phone. So right now, when there's limited inventory and a tremendous amount of eyeballs sitting around at home looking at houses, you have an opportunity to really get more eyeballs on your house than you normally would. And there's still a lot of pent-up demand. So the answer to that is yes, absolutely list it. All right. Next question is TP, toilet paper, a good closing gift? Might be, you know. Maybe you want to give your buyer, if they're moving into their house, a roll for each bathroom, kind of as a closing gift. You know, you wouldn't want to wipe out the friendship. You would just want to give them a good start. I couldn't help it. I'm so sorry. I do believe that more people will be working from home after this over, and as a part of staging, as a part of talking about the house, you're going to see home office space being more a part of what you're going to see in from the stagers and what you're going to see as you talk about the House's ability to give you a private office or a private workspace. I think that's coming. I really do. And more in the language than before. Who would have thought Zoom, FaceTime, and WebEx would be a stronger part of our world? Doggone it, if I could have picked that stock. Did a virtual staging appointment last Saturday. Never did anything like that before. They walked around the house and we went over things that needed to be moved and updated. Again, a different way to do some different things. All right, well, we've got to start moving towards break. And you know, Sandy, I know right after the break, a lot of people are going to want to hear what's going on with these rates. So I hope you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right. Well, we're excited that you're with us to show your real estate today. Yes, we are virtual, but we're here in spirit and hope to hear from you. We'll be right back. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Stay with us. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Hey, it's Paul Jamison, your host of the show, Your Real Estate Today. Again, sorry that we are pre-recording, but we are here in spirit, friends. We're glad you're with us here with Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding, our mortgage partner and the number one mortgage woman in the state of North Carolina. All right. Okay. So, you know, Sandy, at the break, we are talking about activity, you know, and I don't know what you believe, but here's a couple things that I believe and I'm interested in your thoughts. I believe that activity is going to get pushed into late summer and fall. I know there's a lot of people out there still waiting to move, that need to move, that want to move. And I also think that, you know, our season, our fall may not be like the spring season. I think we'll really see next year as we come out of this starting again next March. I think the season will come in early. So I do think we're going to have a strong fall, and winter months that than normal, you know, through the rest of the year. But I really think next year, next March is going to be an explosion of activity. Also, I think there'll be many people that leave the business, yours and mine. And I think, you're going to see more investment in real estate due to the stability of how real estate had acted during these volatile times based on other things. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same mode. We're busy now, but we do have refis and purchases. So people are still buying.
Yeah.
I'm getting, I don't know, maybe 10 leads a day that I'm contacting, and they're contacting me. We have some people that have kind of set back for a little while until all this is over, but we have some people that are really seeing opportunity. So the purchase market is down a little bit for me, but it's still active. And the refi market is really just revving up. Like, we got going really hard before all this started, and then it kind of slacked off, and now everybody's kind of jumping back in again. So
yeah.
I think that you're right. The spring market will be pushed back to summer. And I think as people get comfortable, as the world opens back up,
yeah,
then they're going to – all that pent-up demand is going to come out hard and fast.
Yeah, I think you're right, Sandy. I see that. We sold four last week. You know, so activity is still happening, and activity is still out there. You know, and people are still thinking about real estate. You know, that's the good news. So just know that we're seeing it and we're still getting a lot of calls. I do want to say for the investor folks out there that, you know, a lot of the rental collections and concerns around that, we had a pretty steady rental collection month with a few exceptions. I don't know what's going to happen in May, but we'll just have to keep you guys posted as we go into it. So, Sandy, let's talk about rates for a minute. One of the things I was excited to hear about you to talk about was that we have lived in a little bit of a ping pong of rates up and down over the last. So why are the rates jumping around right now?
Yeah, it's the total roller coaster. So early March, rates dropped like crazy. And people just started jumping in, unbelievable. Like, we were doing tons of refis and purchases. And what happened was that the volume was so great that the lender's warehouse lines couldn't handle it. So so rates were thrown up really, really quickly to stop the volume, which it totally did. So the warehouse lines can only, even though we have a lot of capacity and we increased ours, we only have so much staff that can handle the refis and the purchases. So the rates went up. There were a few days where we didn't quote any rates. There was one day where they went up 8 times in one day. We saw it across the board. It was ridiculous.
Wow. So how are they right now?
Right now they're good. So they came back down. They went back up. They started coming down. They went back up because mortgage-backed securities were perceived as a bad investment because of all the layoffs and everything. Then the government infused a bunch of money into them. So now we're seeing them come back down again. So they're back to steady, I believe, at the moment.
Okay. Back to steady good.
Steady good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Steady good. Okay. All right. That's good. All right. So there's also a lot of talk around jumbo loans right now. And why are jumbo loans a problem? And then what's your solution for those that need a loan over whatever the threshold is now?
So because of the perceived risk and because jumbo loans aren't conforming, they're not Freddie Mac, they're not Fannie Mae, they're not Jenny Mae. They're more private with banks and investors. A lot of those jumbo lenders and all the alt programs have pretty much gone away. So we still have a few jumbo lenders. Most have raised their prices because of the risk. So we're not really doing a whole lot of that right now, at least at the moment. I mean, things could change fast. So what we're doing is, instead of doing one loan, we're doing a conforming loan at the 5, 10, 400. And then we're tacking on a home equity line of credit as a second. So the old piggyback mortgages is what we're doing. And those are great deals because the Fed funds rate has gone to zero, which means that
that's a good idea.
Home equity lines of credit, which they're tied to, are super great rates right now. So it turns out pretty good for the buyers.
And that rate floats, right? So we know that at least the next couple of years, it's not going to be...
It's going to be nice. Yeah, super nice.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, why don't we just buy it all with a home equity line?
Some people have done that before.
Have they really?
Yeah, I don't know. I did that, actually, and then it went away. And I don't know. They're probably going to not want to do that, but they're all about doing the equity lines. And they're tightening up, too. Like, we used to be able to get 90% all day long. A lot of the banks have pulled back to only a max of 80%. So we're finagling as the market moves around. Mm. But luckily, we have a lot of resources.
Okay. What's going on with FHA, VA, and USDA? Because I know there's some real changes in these, not just the qualifications, but also... some people are even getting pushed out of other loans into these loans.
Yeah, so everything's tightening up, and so those are riskier loans, so obviously they're tightening up. A lot of lenders have now raised the minimum credit score for FHA to 680. Some are 640. We are at 620, so FHA will allow lower than that, but lenders are very concerned about buybacks and defaults right now, so they're a little bit more difficult to get. We are not doing that for the most part. We're still down to 620. I think we surveyed 8 lenders. 6 of them were 680. 2 of them were 640. So also the prices on those are going to be a little bit higher because of the warehouse issue that I was talking about. It's taking longer to buy loans off of their warehouse lines. So they're raising the rates to cover that extra cost. We are actually Ginnie Mae direct, which means that we are direct with the government, secondary market. So we get bought off the line quicker, so our rates should be pretty darn good comparatively.
Right. So that's another interesting way to think about this, Sandy, is some of the stability of some of these lenders as as these files go through the warehouse or as they get a margin call, if they have a lot of loans on the books. One good thing about Summit is they got a lot of horsepower.
Yeah. Yeah, we're a debt-free company. We've got great warehouse lines. We can handle, we're not going to probably see the margin calls too much because we're just going to hold all our loans in-house now.
Nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Nothing
good
wrong
for
with
me.
That either. Yeah.
Good for you guys.
Absolutely.
Good for the clients.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we've got about 30 seconds before the break. When we come back, Sandy, let's talk a little bit about the qualifications process and how that's going to change. Let's talk about ARMs. Let's talk about appraisals.
Okay.
Let's talk about credit score. Yeah, let's talk about some stuff. We got a lot to talk about today. Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding, 704-577-0144, if you need Sandy. Or you can call me at 846-DUNN, 846-3663. Paul Jamison, your host today, the show, Your Real Estate Today, here on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Stay with us. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Hey, it's Paul Jamison, your host with the Jamison Family of Companies. That's Realty, Property Management, and Investment. Thanks for being with us today here with my dear friend Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding. We're talking real estate, and we are remote today, so sorry about that. We cannot be live in the studio, so we had to pre-record, and we're going to do that for the short term. We look forward to getting back live so we can take your phone calls, your questions, and all of the information that we can do to help make your life better. All right, so I just did something to my technology. I don't know what. Oh, there. I fixed it. Okay. All right. Darn technology, I swear. It's crazy. All right. So how are you doing with all this tech stuff, Sandy?
I'm doing pretty good with it. Mostly I'm on the phone. I've done a few Zoom calls. We have something called Blue Jeans, so that's sort of the same thing, a face-to-face virtual. Anyway. Not too much trouble, especially when you set it all up. It's easy.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I'll tell you, I'm getting more and more used to it, and the Zoom stuff. Although I'm a face-to-face guy, so this isn't going to change my world.
No, mine either.
I am not going to be wanting to do this. Nah. Anyway, so there you go. All right, so. We were talking about mortgages and the qualification process. So, Sandy, what's going to change about that or the qualification process? I mean, is it going to be harder? And if so, how?
It's definitely going to be harder. We were getting approvals to debt ratios up to, I don't know, 56 on government loans and 50-ish on Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loans. I'm guessing that's all going to tighten up. The ones with the lower credit scores, we're not going to do anything over the 45%. Probably some will be 43%, which is QM or whatever, what typically we like to see. So that's going to tighten up. More documentation, everybody. Be prepared. We're going to need more letters of explanation. We're going to make sure your mortgages, if you have one, are paid on time. So and here's another big one. Documentation will only be good for 60 days versus the current 120 days. So we will ask for more pay stubs and more updates on bank statements, stuff like that. So that's a major change that just happened.
Yeah.
Mortgage insurance companies are not going to finance, are not going to insure 85% investor properties anymore. So that means we're going to be limited to 80% on purchases. We don't do a lot of the 85s, but we got notification on that from a couple of them today.
Probably not a bad idea anyway.
Yeah. Cash out refis are going to be super tough on, and the pricing is going to be a little bit higher on those than on the no cash out refis. Because, of course, they think everyone's going to yank money out of their houses just to live.
I mean, it's interesting, and then this is, again, off topic, but does the mortgage industry feel like this is a long-term thing?
I know our company doesn't. We're thinking 2 to 3 months, and once the world opens back up and the United States opens back up, we think we're going to recover fairly rapidly. But you know, they're going to be finances conservative, so we're always going to be extra cautious.
Yeah. I'm with you though. I think this is a 2 to 3 month ripple effect, and we're full steam ahead. So that's what I think. Stronger, faster.
All right.
Let's talk about ARMs and short-term loan pricing. What do you see changing with ARMs and any kind of short-term stuff?
I've been watching because a lot of people are asking me about 15 and 20-year loans. For the most part, I'm not seeing a big difference in the pricing. Now, yesterday the 15-year fix was about 0.5% lower. Today it wasn't. Today it was almost the same. So it's bouncing around as well. ARMs, I would say you're not going to get, I mean, how much lower can you get than 3.25, which is a fixed rate? But if it's a quarter lower, and you're not going to keep the loan that long, then I think those are still good options. You're just not going to see a big spread because there's just not that much space to spread it out. The rates are just so low.
You said this,
look at everything.
That's right. You said this yesterday, and I really like what you said when we were preparing for today. You know, if you've got a 15-year rate that's 3.25, and you got a 30-year rate that's 3.25, you know, why not take the 30-year rate at 3.25 and amortize it like it's a 15-year loan on your own? And then whenever you do need extra money for an HVAC or anything else, you've got that extra payment you don't have to make.
Yeah.
You become your own bank, in essence,
mm-hmm.
and control your money. So I like that. I think there has to be a significant difference to take the 15 over the 30 when you have ability to make a larger payment yourself, and it hit straight principal, whatever you pay over in excess. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, there's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about appraisals. We had this whole conversation about COVID not going in appraisals.
Yeah, so ultimately we would like the traditional appraisal, and some clients would like that because then the appraiser can see all the upgrades that you did to the property and make sure that, you know, that will just tweak their values better. But if either party's uncomfortable on a regular purchase or refi where it's owner-occupied, then we're making concessions, and Fannie Mae's and all of them, government loans in general, all are making concessions to where we can do desktop appraisals and exterior only, which are your drive-by appraisals. Now, they won't do it on second homes that are over 85%. Some investor properties are not going to want to do it. But we definitely have those options now, which is nice. And we are getting more appraisal waivers on certain purchases and refis as well, to where we don't, you know, Fannie Mae has this model where they can guess what your house is worth, and if they're comfortable with the value, then we don't have to get appraisals. So we get those as well. We have some cases. I talked to an appraiser today, and she's like, she's still going into houses, but, you know, some lenders are only saying do drive-bys. And if the house is vacant, we want you to go in. So, unless there's some reason for them not to go in. But we're definitely working with appraisers and buyers and sellers because, you know, some people are more vulnerable than others. Some just, you know, don't want people in their house. Some appraisers don't want to go into people's houses. So we're being super flexible.
Yeah, and I think this is a topic that we have always embraced on our team and our real estate practices for Jamison. And that is this is how we handle appraisers, okay? And, you know, certainly we want them to go in the house, right? A drive-by appraisal is purely that, drive-by mm-hmm. appraisal, you know? So let's look at the appraiser's position that he's getting put in right now, all right? Mm-hmm. If he has a sensitive family member at home, you know, he's just like the rest of us. You know, they may have circumstances that make it not right for them to go into the house, or they might be concerned for their own health reasons, right? So,
right.
So one of the things that we do is, number one, for marketing purposes, all of our photos are professionally taken. So they're clear and they're available to the appraiser to look at. The second thing is we do a professionally measured floor plan. Now, right now, only on vacant houses or if the home is under contract, we can have it measured. But that helps the appraiser have less impact on the home if he wants to, air quote, validate the measurements that we put together. Number three, we provide the appraiser a list. We provide them a list of things that the seller has done to the home that are of significance to its valuation. Like, if the last records he has from when the house was listed before was the pictures of, you know, the kitchen and the things like that, we can help show them this is what the seller did to the kitchen. These are the improvements that were made. This was the cost of those improvements. Here's when the new roof went on, water heater, HVAC. Here are the things that the seller has done to add value. So, again, it's all about value. And next, we're going to talk about credit score, speaking of value. And Sandy and I are going to wrap our heads around how to make sure you protect your credit score, protect your real estate, and get out there and make some money. We'll be right back to Show Your Real Estate Today here on News Talk 1110 and 99.3. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Here we go, the Show Your Real Estate Today. Here was Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding and myself, Paul Jamison, the host of the Show Your Real Estate Today. Glad you're with us, and we're in segment four. The day moves so quickly, even virtually, doesn't it, Sandy?
It does. Time flies.
Yes, it does. Well, you know, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the appraiser and making sure that the appraiser gets the information, because we obviously want the house to appraise. Drive-by appraisals have always been a little bit of a concern of mine. So we want to do, as realtors and as selling realtors, anything we can do to make sure that the appraiser gets good information, because they don't know unless you tell them. It's kind of like my mantra about Zillow. People always go, well, Zillow says. You want to know my answer?
Yes.
When's the last time Zillow walked through the front door of your house? How about never? We, at least we think that. All right. So you never know. The new Zillow Informer might be that Amazon or that Alexa sitting on your counter there. All right. So let's talk about credit score, Sandy. Credit score, you know, I'm one of those guys. I am a huge fanatic about my credit score. So much so that I have services that monitor it on an ongoing basis. You know, if people defer their mortgage, if people defer their rent, if people defer payments, credit card payments and other options during this time, what does that do to their credit score? Can you talk a little bit about that? Around what you all know about that?
I can talk about mortgages. If you've contacted the servicer and you've agreed on a forbearance for, I don't know, 3 months, I guess they could do it up to 12, but the standard right now, I think, is about 3 months. During that time, you won't obtain any late charges, and it'll report as current on your credit report.
Right.
So the scary thing about that is once you get behind on a mortgage payment, because that's typically the biggest payment that a person has every month, it's not forgiven. So forbearance is not forgiven. You're going to have to make it, and it's just going to put that much stress on you, much more stress on you when you get 3 months behind and you have to make all 3 months. So I would suggest that if there's any way to make your payments, you make the payments. The lenders will work with you. But if you have a hardship and you need to forbear, then they're going to do that for you. But just keep in mind that they're still going to require the payments if if it's really a significant hardship, I have to make other special arrangements with the servicer. But the first thing is, if you think you're running behind or you can't make it, call the servicer. You're probably going to have to be on hold for a little while. Mm-hmm. They're getting lots of calls. I think we're up to 13 minutes. We went from 2 to 13 minutes. Most are over a half in order to make the arrangements. Don't just assume that you don't have to make the payment without an arrangement.
Does it get tacked on to the end of the mortgage, or is it all due at
no.
the end of the forbearance?
It's all due at the end of the forbearance.
That's right.
So that's why I'm saying make it. Now, I'm not saying that if you have like a horrible situation and you have to work directly with the servicer, that there, in some instances, I know that HUD will put payments on the back, but I wouldn't count. That's going to be few and far between. I would say for the most part, you know, as soon as you have your job, they're going to expect their money.
Right.
Or as soon as you have means to make it.
So if you get your unemployment benefit.
Right. Make your payment.
They're going to expect you to make that payment.
Exactly. We put a lot of emphasis on housing payments, so even more than credit cards or car loans or whatever. So that's the one payment you really want to make that one on time, because it's the most difficult to catch up on.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, for those that don't know, the same thing goes for rent, right? If you
yeah.
work out, I mean, it's business as usual, period. If you have a need related to paying rent, you need to prove the hardship just like you would for your mortgage. You need to work out an arrangement. You will not be charged a late fee or cannot be evicted for 60 days. But at the end of that 60 days, it all comes due, and you need to pay it. You know?
Yeah, so with mortgages, you don't have to prove the hardship. Surprisingly,
yeah.
you don't, but you do have to make an arrangement.
Mm. Well, yeah. It's been interesting, some of the calls that I've gotten asking for free rent. You know, the mortgages for the investor still come irregardless of what's going
right.
on out there.
I got a call right after I closed the guy. I wanted to know if he had to make his payment.
Did you really?
Oh my gosh, make your payment.
Yeah, make it. Make it and like it.
He was still working and everything, so.
So how are you meeting? I'm sorry. Go ahead. So how are you meeting with clients right now?
We're doing everything for the most part over the phone. I do have people dropping off documents, and if I need to go pick something up, I have no problem with that. I have done a closing in my office, but you know, we're careful. For the most part, we're not meeting with clients. We're doing all our disclosures over the email,
right.
or you know, if there's a problem with that, then I'll drop off paperwork or overnight it or whatever. But it's all long distance stuff now.
Wow.
For the most part.
Wow. All right. So if I'm considering refiing my home right now, what kind of things should I look at that says, you know, this is something I should really look at? Is there kind of if it's a X number of points between the current rate and my rate now, how many years I'm going to be in the home? What, when you're counseling somebody about, yes, you should refi, what are some of the things you're saying to them?
Yeah. So what I do is, because larger mortgages, you don't have to have as much drop in rate to make it worth it. Smaller mortgages, you do. If you're not going to be in the house, I don't know, 3 to 5 years, I would say don't bother with it. But what I do is I get the mortgage statement, and then I look at the cost versus the drop in payment. And if you can break even within a couple years, then it's usually worth it. Sometimes, you know, we include in that dropping off PMI, because over the last couple years, values have gone up, and that could be a significant amount of payment reduction. In addition to a lower rate. So we take all that into consideration. It's kind of a one-on-one thing for me. It's not a general rule, but because I do the calculations for you. So I would say, you know, you're going to get stuff in the mail, promising all kinds of things.
Yes.
But I would say talk one-on-one with the lender and let them do an analysis of your benefit.
Yeah, I think that's wise. And then before we jump off for the day, closings. So what's happening with the attorneys right now around these closings, Sandy?
We are doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Attorneys don't really want buyers or sellers, but I mean, they want buyers and sellers in the office. They don't want realtors and they don't want lenders in there. So they are limiting the people in the closing room. Some of them are using a lot of power of attorney and doing Zoom closings and having someone else sign for people. You know, we have some people that have been on chemo and some people that have high risk. And so they'll do maybe a drive-by power of attorney to limit the exposure to people. And then they'll do a Zoom closing and have another unaffiliated party in the office be the POA or power of attorney to sign for that other person. So we're doing a lot of that. Some are still doing it in their office. I've done two myself because the attorneys didn't want people in the office, and it just turned out to be a convenience factor, and I did have access to a notary. You have to have a notary. One right. I did at a bank and one I did in the office. But for the most part, attorneys are allowing the buyers and the sellers to come in and sign.
Okay.
Or their mail-aways.
Yeah, mail-aways too. Yeah, absolutely. All right, well... if people are interested in talking about refi or want to get in touch with you, Sandy, how do they do it?
Just call my mobile, 704-577-0144.
Well, I didn't get a chance to get to the low appraisals, so we're going to do that next time. And then just go through some different updates. But do remember that opportunity is knocking. And it's a great time if you're interested in my books. You can get it at pauljamison.com. I'll send you a signed copy, pauljamison.com. But we're glad you're with us, and thank you for being around with us on this Saturday. Give us a call at 846-DONE, 846-3663 if you're interested in buying, selling, or investing. Thank you, Sandy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, the show Bye-bye. Your real estate today. God bless. Take care.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Nisick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake.
It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.